A split result in Europe as a far-right candidate is defeated in Austria, and a referendum result plunges Italy into political crisis. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, author of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So Europe breathed a sigh of relief with Norbert Hofer losing Austria's presidential election. But after losing a referendum on constitutional changes, Matteo Renzi's government is resigning in Italy, opening up the door for new elections and a potential win for the far left and Eurosceptic five-star movement. Now, Russia didn't create this political crisis in Europe and in the West in general, but it certainly is exploiting it, and it certainly had a plan to exploit it. 3 years ago, the Kremlin-backed think tank, the Center for Strategic Communications, released a report titled Putin, World Conservatism's New Leader. It looked kind of funny at the time. It doesn't look so funny anymore. The report noted that there's a sizable constituency in the West that favors traditional family values over feminism and gay rights, and that prefers nation-based states rather than multicultural melting pots. It noted that in difficult economic times, traditionalist anti-establishment wave was coming, and that Vladimir Putin was in a unique position to exploit this. 3 years later, it looks like the plan's working, no?
Certainly, Putin and the Kremlin have to be happy with the result of the referendum in Italy on several levels, just because it throws Italy into crisis, and it is getting rid of a prime minister and government that was sometimes skeptical about sanctions, but usually towed the line, or you know, kept in line with the EU on keeping sanctions up against Russia over its interference in Ukraine. So on that level, certainly it's a plus for the Kremlin. I guess with Austria, you know, they would have preferred to have
Hofer.
Yes. And you can almost see kind of a core now in Europe of Germany and Austria being almost the last bastion or whatever, with the French election presumably going next year to, well, possibly going to a candidate who is friendly to Putin's Russia.
Yeah. If you put this all in context, I mean, you have Brexit, you have how the French election is shaping up, and the way I see it is Putin's already won that one because Le Pen is an obvious win for Putin, and Fillon, who wants to get rid of sanctions, is a win for Putin. And the left doesn't seem to stand a ghost of a chance in that election. In the Netherlands elections coming up in March, the National Front is leading. You have Italy right now being plunged into crisis. Looks like the five-star movement is going to win. And all eyes will be on Germany in their elections at the end of the year. And this doesn't even mention the earthquake that took place across the Atlantic a month ago. So it seems that this is working. But on the other hand, I was watching an interesting interview with Thomas Friedman on CNN this weekend. And when this was raised, he said, yeah, and if you're a worker in St. Petersburg, that and 10 cents will get you a cup of coffee. He said Putin's basically looking for dignity in all the wrong places because he's not investing in the human capital of his own people. And in the long run, Russia's going to lose this. Would you agree with that? Or is there just so much damage that could be done here in the short run that it might not matter?
Well, no, I was about to say, I mean, it's like Putin's having what are being termed by many as victories abroad, but you know, at home, you know, as you're saying, this doesn't really help the Russian people in any way except
make them feel like they're a big power again,
right?
Maybe get sanctions lifted.
I mean, you sort of think is Russia going to? I mean, Putin considers this all to be victories, but there is a kind of a disconnect between what, and in fact, it seemed as the Russian world concept kind of faded and the Nova Russia concept faded, it seemed to me at least that this whole conservatism push was kind of, you know, fading, at least close to Russia. I mean, you don't have much support close to Russia for this. But now he's has these victories further abroad.
I think the main target was further abroad in this. I thought this from the very start was an effort to create a wedge issue in the West and to divide the West. And I read that report when it came out three years ago. And I thought it was interesting enough to write about, but I didn't really take it that seriously, like this was going to take off. I didn't see this coming, and perhaps we all should have because, again, it was telegraphed.
Right. I mean, similar, I remember seeing a Peskov statement a few years ago, probably 3 years ago also, of saying, you know, more and more people abroad are looking to Russia as, you know, the kind of the model. And I was thinking, you know, come on, this isn't really happening.
But it is. There was that report in the New York Times over the weekend saying, you know, extremists are looking to Putin as the defender of traditional values now.
You know, which pointed out certain things, or at least people commenting pointed out things like, well, you know, these anti-immigration rightists in the United States, for instance, would be horrified by Putin's migration policies in Russia.
Yes, they would, but that's almost beside the point.
Well, right, because they're not going to notice.
But
I mean, another thing I noticed, I mean, this kind of coincides with the new foreign policy concept that Putin signed last week. One of the items in it was that the Russian media, working internationally, and the, I guess, the foreign ministry as well, are called upon to kind of push harder to make the Russian point of view on world events prevail and mm-hmm. make it known. You know, I think that's something that, you know, they're clearly trying to do and that is playing into this.
Well, I thought it was quite interesting, too, that when this report came out 3 years ago, Putin, or Vladimir Putin, the world's conservatism's new leader, this was right around the time that Dmitry Kislyov was made the head of Rossiya Sovetnya. So I don't think those two things are unrelated at all. Russia's international media machine has played a key role in this whole thing. I want to kind of go to Putin's speech, though, and think, like, last week, I mean, we're talking here about Putin's winning. Did he look like somebody who thought he was winning when you watched that speech? Because, I mean, if the rhetoric, if you just read the text, you get the crowing about how Russia's immune from the populist wave right. that's sweeping to West, leaving aside the fact that they don't have real contested elections in Russia. So how could it not be? But, you know, that Russia's infant mortality rates are lower than Europe. You had some triumphalism in the content. But when I was looking at it, the optics, I did not see a man that felt like he was winning.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple of views on that, maybe. One is that he didn't want to crow too much because he didn't feel he had to. In other words, let it be understood that I'm not.
When he's confident, he's
no,
cocky.
Exactly. and the other being, well, he's actually, you know, or one of the others being that he's cautious because he doesn't really know what's going to happen with the relationship with Trump.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he doesn't want to kind of count his chickens, I guess. So those are two ways of looking at it. Another would be, I guess, another extreme or closer to an extreme would be, well, you know, he's not crowing because he doesn't really feel confident.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, again, we're coming up to 2017, the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. This is on the minds of the Russian elite very, very much right now for a lot of different reasons. But one of those reasons, I think, is that I think he probably understands that Russia is not immune to this anti-establishment wave that's sweeping the world, especially as the economy gets worse. And that while in the West there is the safety valve of elections, in Russia there isn't really that. There are not, I mean, Novaya Gazeta published a report today about massive falsifications in the State Duma elections. There really isn't that safety valve. And if this wave ever truly hits Russia, the only place people are going to have to go is to the streets, which is Putin's greatest fear. So I think there's triumphalism mixed with serious apprehension, no?
Right. I think there's a good analogy to be made with the view of the Bolshevik Revolution from the Kremlin now. It was like, well, we don't want to, you know, we can't celebrate revolution.
Right.
And it is ironic that these things that are happening in Europe and the U.S. that are going Putin's way, you know, it's all elections.
Yeah.
That's what he's banking on there. And in Russia, you know, they don't have them.
Well, yeah, so, he's decimated democracy at home and weaponized it abroad, so to speak.
Right. So it's, I mean,
and if you don't have that safety valve of the elections, where do you go? You go to the streets. Right. And that's what I do think. I mean, they are obsessed with the possibility of popular uprisings as confidence.
Absolutely. I don't think that's changed, you know, regardless of what he says about we're immune. I mean, sure. He obviously doesn't everything that he and the Kremlin have done for the past, you know, several years since 2012 shows that I don't think that they're confident that they're immune.
No, and this will probably be the story to look to coming into 2017. And I know you're working on a piece on this, so we all look forward to that. And I guess on that note, we'll wrap it up. It's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast, and joining me in the studio has been RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.